أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 31 يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُصْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ O children of Adam, put on your adornments on every occasion of prayer and eat and drink, but do not waste. Indeed, Allah does not like the wasteful. Say, who has forbidden the adornment of Allah, which He has brought forth for His servants and the good things of His provision? Now, this verse actually completes what was being conveyed to us in the previous verses. It gives us the right balance in our life in a very, very beautiful way. And I think this is one of the most important pieces of guidance that every human being would need who wants to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wants to purify themselves for Allah. If you remember, in the previous verses, we said that the kuffar, the mushrikun of Quraysh and other tribes, when they wanted to circumambulate around Kaaba, they came in, they made themselves naked because they thought that the dress in which they had committed sin is not appropriate for circumambulation around the house, or they thought that the best way to go to the Lord is to be completely removed from all sorts of belongings of this world. There were different reasons given for their acts in going around the house naked. And of course, this was a fahisha. This was something which was regarded as a very big sin. By every religion and every reason, this was a big sin. However, they justified this, that this is what Allah wants from us. He wants us to keep away from all belongings of life. If we want to go to Him, if we want to come to this house, we have put everything aside and go without dressing. And the verse number 28 said, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا When they do an indecency, they say, we found our fathers practicing it and Allah has commanded us to do it. So, what Allah replies here and what is actually the code for the children of Adam to follow is given in these two verses, or actually four verses, from 29 to 31, which gives the right balance for those who want to attain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, he said, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ Say, my Lord has enjoined justice. And this justice here means balance. You have to keep balance in your life. Now, how this balance is achieved? أَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ In every occasion of prayer, set your hearts towards Allah, completely and purely. وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Do not call anyone beside Him. Be pure in your calling. Be sincere in what you do. This is the right way of calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the right way of religion. Now, then of course, because human being is a creature of imbalance, always we go to extremes. When we want to purify for the Lord, we go to extremes, leaving everything behind, the life, the family, and we want to completely isolate ourselves and commit ourselves to this cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we forget everything else. Now, here God tells us that you shouldn't go that far, and you shouldn't go to the other extreme, because of pleasures of this life, forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the balance is, أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. This qist, this balance is, first of all, you set your heart towards Allah, call Him with pure heart. However, now we come to verse number 31. This is actually a rejoinder to what went before it. يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Put on your adornment. This adornment is nice dress, having perfumes, being nicely groomed. When you want to call Allah, do not forget about these things. And we know how people, how human beings have been actually misguided by wrong conceptions about the way to go to God. You know what Christian monks have done in the past, by thinking that to be pure for Allah, they have to completely get away from even the hygiene and from the cleanliness in their body and in their dress. And we know that there are some others who try to absolutely keep away from all adornments of life because they say we want to purify for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the balance is the purity, the nakedness should be in your heart. You have to be naked in your heart from whatever belonging it is. أَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Keep your heart set for Allah. وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Call Him absolutely, absolutely in sincerity. But in outward life, when you live with others, when others see you, they cannot see your heart. They can see your appearance. Your appearance shouldn't show. Your appearance is not an indication of your heart. Of course, by appearance, I mean being nicely groomed, having good dress, and all these things. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Take your zina at the occasion of, on the occasion of every prayer. Now, what this ayah tries to tell us is, as I said, not to go to extreme. It negates monasticism. It negates Sufism, which is the Islamic form of monasticism. And by Sufism, I don't mean having pure heart. I don't mean Irfan and such things. No, Sufism, because Sufis were famous for their dressing. And actually, they say they were called Sufis because they used to wear dresses out of wool and suf. And that's why they became famous for that, in one explanation of it. In the same way that it's negates monasticism, it negates Sufism. Now you may say that Sufis have very good arguments for their being dressing like that, behaving like that. Of course, everyone has good reason for what they do. Everyone can bring instances of verses of the Quran telling us that you have to be purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the previous verse it says, however, we have to put all these pieces of guidance together to find the balance. So, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. And zina, 2C says, zina is nice dressing, as of course we are recommended in every risala, that when you want, especially to go to Jum'ah, to Jama'ah, to Eid prayer, have nice dresses on, put perfume on. This is just to negate the idea that when we go to God, we have to be away from all these things. As, of course, the mushrikun of Mecca took it to the very, very extreme, taking all their dresses off. This is the insanity of human reasoning sometimes, which it comes about. And in a hadith from Imam Ja'far, Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, Abu Ja'far, we have that he said, "Fil Jum'at wal A'yad, especially, you have to put on your nice dress so that people see that you go to Allah with this type of dressing." Now, of course, all exegetes have related this to the tradition of Mushrikun, which the verse tries to negate. That is putting aside the dressing when they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for two reasons that I mentioned. One reason, they said, we have to be aloof from all types of belongings, even our dressing. And the second was that how can we circumambulate around this house while we are dressed in those clothing in which we had committed sin? So we have to put them away. You see, it's all right justifications. However, wrong understanding of these justifications. And then, of course, وَكُلُوا وَشْهَرَبُوا. Again, a denial of monasticism, a denial of extremes, that we have to always be hungry, we have to always keep ourselves in a situation which we are quite away from our physical pleasures. وَكُلُوا وَشْهَرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Of course, we do not. Now, israf, as I have mentioned before, means exceeding the limits. It's not just wasting, it's exceeding the limits. Do not exceed the limits. So whatever I have allowed you to eat, eat. Whatever I have allowed you to drink, drink. And do not transgress beyond that. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Because, of course, Allah does not like those who transgress. And then the justification. In fact, the following verse asks for a reason, a justification, by those who try to deprive themselves and others from using this zina, of the zina of this world. Allah says, "What is your reason? Where have I said this? In which book you have found this, that you have to keep away from all pleasures and enjoyments of life?" قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Who has forbidden the adornments of Allah? Now, zinatullah, of course, whatever Allah has created in this world is a zina, isn't it? Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan. Whatever is on this earth is just a zina, is an adornment, so that you are attracted towards it. The food, of course, it's your nourishment, but we have put a zina on it. That is what? We have put a taste in it, so that you are attracted. Now, some people say we don't eat the food for its taste. We only want to eat it for its nourishment. Okay, it's good, because we want to be away from all pleasures of life. But who has created this pleasure of taste in this? It's Allah who has created it. And who has forbidden it? It's you who have forbidden it. He hasn't forbidden this nice taste. I think I have mentioned this before. Once I went to this Nizdan temple, and the monks there, they, when the cooked food brought for them, they poured water in it. And they said, "We do it so that all the taste would go away. And we do not taste the pleasure of life." Okay, what is your reason? Why? قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Now, the zina of nice dressing, the zina of having nice companions, what is, which one of this Allah has forbidden? Now, tayyibati min ar-rizq, wa tayyibati min ar-rizq. The tayyibati min ar-rizq, Tusi mentions that there are two meanings in it. One is al-mustaladhu min ar-rizq, whatever of the rizq of Allah which is pleasurable. And the other one is whatever of this rizq which is halal. Which, of course, both of them have the same meaning, because Allah does not make something halal unless it's pleasurable and doesn't make it haram because of its pleasure. However, Tusi says the first one is better, pleasurable, not halal, because at the continuation of the verse it says, خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is going to be purely for the believers on the Day of Judgment. And of course, on the Day of Judgment, there is no halal and haram. It's only the pleasures which remains. So here, what is meant by tayyibat, as some exegetes have tried to say that tayyibat are anything which is halal, it is not, of course, anything which is halal is tayyib. However, this is not what is mentioned here in this verse. What is mentioned in this verse is the pleasurable zina of the life, pleasures of life. Because then, as I said, the following statement says that these pleasures are going to be purely for the believers on the Day of Judgment. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Now, this is very interesting because these are for the faithful in the life of this world. However, we know that the ones who use these pleasures even more are the unfaithful, not only the faithful. And of course, in other verses, Allah says that we have provided this for everyone, for all people, whether believer or non-believer, كُلًّا نُمِدُّ هَا أُولَاءِ وَهَا أُولَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. Both the believers and non-believers, they can use the ata of your Lord, the giving of your Lord, and His giving, His ata is not stopped from anyone. Everyone can use it. However, what Faith Kashani mentions in his tafsir As-Safi, he says that yes, it is actually created for the believers. Non-believers are using it on the credit of the believers. What he says is that قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا بِالْأَصَالِحِ وَأَمَّا مُشَارَكَةُ الْكُفَّارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَتَبَعٌ. The non-believers are using it just as something which is not intended for them. Now, of course, this makes sense in the way that we have said disbelief, kuf, and what it leads to, Jahannam, is a byproduct of creation. What is intended from human being is faith and eventually the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living as his neighbor in paradise. This is what is meant. And whatever is created on this earth is for this purpose. Now, if you go around as a disbeliever and start using it, you are actually using it because of those people who are the intended consumers of all these ni'mas and bounties. I think it makes sense here to say that yes, it is for the believers in this world. It is for those who turn to Allah, because the whole purpose of creation is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. However, in this world, the question is, if it is for the believers, why the non-believers are using it as well? خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will see that this will be purely for the believers on the Day of Judgment. These pleasures, of course, the pleasures of Jannah, are purely for the believers on the Day of Jannah. خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Now, for خَالِصَةً, two meanings are mentioned. One is what is mentioned by Ibn Abbas and Zahaq and Ibn Juraj and some other exegetes, early exegetes, who said what I just said, خَالِصَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ دُونَ أَعْدَائِهِمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. On the Day of Judgment is purely for the mu'mineen, and we know, because the pleasures are in Jannah. Now, of course, the pleasures of Jannah are different from pleasures of this world, because pleasures of this world, if you go to extreme in it, you become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we are always cautioned on it. That if you are using the pleasure, take your caution so that it would not make you ignorant of Allah, negligent of Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Be careful, because these things are very deceptive. It may deceive you into forgetfulness of the dhikr of Allah. However, this is not possible in Jannah. And the way you use those pleasures, the more you use those pleasures, the more of experience of Allah you will have. And that's why the plentitude of those pleasures in paradise is not something that should be criticized. It is something which would take us close. The more we use, the more closer and we go to Allah, the more experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will have. The other meaning, the other interpretation of khalisatan is by Abu Ali al-Farsi, who said here, khalisatun lahum min sha'ib madarratin talhaquhum. It's pure from any harm or pure from any distress. Because usually we use the pleasures of this life accompanied with harm, with distress, with all these things. It's pure from all those, but it doesn't go with the context very well. So the first meaning is better. That's purely for the believers. كَذَلَكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. In this way we elaborate. Now this elaboration was very much needed by us. We see in our life that people are really lost in finding the balance in ibadah and in using the adornments of the life, whatever it is. As I said, adornment doesn't just mean ornaments. It's the taste, the food, the company, the dressing, everything is an adornment in this life. We needed this elaboration, and this elaboration is for those who really can find out, understand, have knowledge. Now, I want to mention a couple of hadith in this regard, which is even more expressive of what these verses are mentioning, and actually giving us examples. Examples are very much needed for understanding the Quran, and of course are examples of the Prophet and A'imma alayhimus salam and all other prophets. The way they lived is an example for us. However, not single instance. Again, we have to put all these together and find out what is the right balance in our behavior. In Al-Kafi, Marhum Khulaini mentions a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in a discussion between his messenger and Khawarij. Of course, Khawarij were the people who were sticking to the first part of this injunction. That's أَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Purely for God. Forget about everything else. Now, Amirul Mu'mineen sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to Ibn al-Kawwa. Ibn al-Kawwa was one of the leaders of Khawarij and one of the most knowledgeable of them, and one of those who had this Sufi type of inclination. Irfani, so to speak. Of course, this is not Irfan, this is just misguidance. This Sufi type of inclination of keeping away from all pleasures of life. So when Abdullah ibn Abbas went to Ibn al-Kawwa to bring the message of Amirul Mu'mineen, عَلَيْهِ قَمِيصٌ رَقِيقٌ وَحُلَّةٌ. He had a very good dress, of very good quality, Ibn Abbas. And some ornaments, I don't know what type of ornaments he had on. فَلَمَّا نَذَرُوا إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا يَا ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ أَنْتَ خَيْرُنَا فِي أَنفُسِنَا. When they looked at him, they said, Ibn Abbas, well, of course, Ibn Abbas was sent to them because they respected Ibn Abbas. Everyone respected Abdullah ibn Abbas, and especially Khawarij respected Abdullah ibn Abbas very much. How? Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas has gone to them in that dressing. They said, يَا ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ أَنْتَ خَيْرُنَا فِي أَنفُسِنَا. We regarded you to be the best of us. وَأَنْتَ تَلْبَسُ هَذَا اللِّبَاسِ. What is this dress you are putting on? فَقَالَ هَذَا أَوَّلُ مَا أُخَاسِمُكُمْ. He said, this is the first thing I want to argue with you. What is this attitude that you have? قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق. Who has forbidden this? You bring me a verse, you bring me an instance, a hadith of the Prophet that he forbidden these things, and then خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. He mentioned a couple of verses here that يا أيها الذين آمنوا خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. So this is one instance of this type of argument, which right from the beginning of Islam, this is not something new, of course, and this is not something peculiar to Islam. In every religion there has always been this argument about balance and imbalance. What is the right balance in the life for those who want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, there's another hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam again. قِيلَ لَهُ أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهِ ذَكَرْتَ أَنَّ عَلِيَّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ كان يلبس الخشن ويلبس القميص بأربعة دراهم وما أشبه ذلك. You have mentioned to us, he was asked actually, you have mentioned to us that Ali ibn Abi Talib was using very tough and harsh and cheap dress, even a dress he bought for 4 dirham, which was very, very cheap. No one would use to dress like that. And similar things that you have mentioned from Ali ibn Abi Talib, وَنَرَى عَلَيْكَ اللِّبَاسَ الْجَيِّدِ. And we see you do not dress like him. You dress yourself in a nice clothing. فَقَالَ لَهُ إن علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام كان يلبس ذلك في زمان لا ينكر. He used to dress like that in a time which it was quite common to dress like that. ولو لبس مثل ذلك اليوم لشهر به. ولو لبس أمير المؤمنين. ولو لبس مثل ذلك اليوم لشهر به. If he was in this time and he wanted to dress the same as he dressed at that time, he would have been singled out. People would have pointed at him. He would have been distinguished from other people. This would have become لباس الشهرة. لا شهرة means this would have become لباس الشهرة. Certainly, Amirul Mu'minin was in our time. This is what, of course, we understand from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, what he's saying. Certainly, was he to live in our time, he wouldn't have dressed like that. فَخَيْرُ لَبَاسُ كُلَّ زَمَانٍ لباس أهله. The best dress of every time is the dress of the of its people, the common dress that people dress themselves with. Well, this is very interesting because we know that, for example, some people try to dress like the Prophet, saying that we are following the Sunnah of the Prophet. You see, they come to the streets like that, they go to Da'wah and they have a short dishtasha on something, and they say, this is the dress of the Prophet, you are Ashabu Sunnah, we want to follow the Sunnah. Well, is this the Sunnah? Would the Prophet have put on the same dress? Was he living in this time? Certainly. Well, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said he wouldn't have done that because this would have become Libas al-Shuhra. And this shows how misconceptions can somehow deviate people from the balance in life. فَخَيْرُ لِبَاسِ كُلِّ زَمَانٍ لِبَاسُ أَهْلِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّ قَائِمَنَا إِذَا قَامْ لَبِسَ لِبَاسَ عَلِيٍّ وَصَارَ بِسِيرَتِهِ. Now there is one thing. If when our Qa'im comes, he wears like Ali ibn Abi Talib and he follows his seerah. Now the reason is mentioned in the following hadith. He says, because Amirul Mu'minin was the leader of the community. And Amirul Mu'minin said that the leader should live like the poorest person, people in the community, so that they are not somehow heavy-hearted about what they see in life, the differences and these things. And that's why when Qa'imuna comes, he would, because we don't have any responsibility, we are not leaders now. We are not in charge, we don't collect the taxes or whatever, we are not in charge of anything, so we can live like that. But if we become leaders, then that would be different. وَفِي رِوَايَةٌ أُخْرَى عَنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَنَّهُ أَلَّلَ خُشُونَةَ مَتْأَمِهِ وَمَلْبَسِهِ. Now, why Amir al-Mu'minin dressed like that? Not because it was haram to dress otherwise, Not because it was something bad to dress nicely, because he said, بِأَنَّ اللَّهِ فَرَضَ عَلَىٰ أَمَّةِ الْعَادِلِ أَنْ يُقَدِّرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِضَعَفَةِ النَّاسِ. Allah has made it compulsory on أَئِمَّةُ الْعَادِلِ, the just imams, the just leaders, that they live the way the poor people live. This is why Amir al-Mu'min was living like that. It was not for Sufism or any other thing. Now, one final hadith, and we just finish. This is a very interesting hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And if we think about it, we find this really to be the case. He said that, اَعْلَمُوا يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ حَازُوا عَاجِلَ الْخَيْرَ وَعَاجِلَ. Muttaqun have achieved both the immediate pleasures of this life and the future pleasures of Jannah. What is the difference between mu'minun and kafirun? Both of them are using the pleasures of this life. However, the mu'minun would have exclusively the pleasures in future and the kafirun wouldn't have it. وَعَلَمُوا يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ حَازُوا عَاجِلَ الْخَيْرَ وَعَاجِلَ شَارَكُوا أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ. They share the people of this world in their dunya. وَلَمْ يُشَارِكْهُمْ أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا فِي آخِرَتِهِمْ. However, أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا, those who do not believe in God, they do not share with them their akhirah. أَبَاحَهُمُ اللَّهَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَا كَفَاهُمْ بِهِ وَأَغْنَاهُمْ. Allah has allowed for them to use whatever they need in this world, and has given them. Of course, in every community we are poor and rich, whether believers, non-believers, that's a different issue. But it's the same for everyone. قَالَ اللَّهُ قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Now, Amir al-Mumin says that this is the justification. Allah says, who has made this unlawful? So, mu'minun and Kafirun, they both use the same thing. سَكَنُ الدُّنْيَا بَعَفْضَلِ مَا سُكَنَتْ. They live in this world in best houses. As I said, in every community we have rich and poor. However, the believers and non-believers in this are equal. سَكَنُ الدُّنْيَا بَعَفْضَلِ مَا سُكَنَتْ. وَأَكَلُوهَا بَعَفْضَلِ مَا أُكَلَتْ. They eat from the best food. شاركوا أهل الدنيا في دنياهم فأكلوا معهم من طيبات ما يأكلون. They share the people of dunya and they eat from the طيبات of what they eat. شربوا من طيبات ما يشربون. They eat from the طيبات of their drinks. Of course, from the خبيثات like alcohol and these things they don't drink because they are خبيثات. The طيبات they drink. The same thing. We drink orange juice, strawberry juice, apple juice. This is tayyibat of drinks, isn't it? The same thing that they eat, we eat. They drink, we drink. وَلَبَسُوا مِنْ أَفْضَلِ مَا يَلْبَسُونَ. They dress from the best dressing that they dress. وَسَكَنُوا مِنْ أَفْضَلِ مَا يَسْكُنُونَ. وَتَزَوَّجُوا مِنْ أَفْضَلِ مَا يَتَزَوَّجُونَ. They marry with each other with the best type of wives and husbands which are in this world. وَرَكَبُوا مِنْ أَفْضَلِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. Their cars or the markab is the same. Asabu lazzata dunya ma ahli dunya. They use the pleasures of this world with the people of this world. Wa hum ghadan jiranullah. And despite this, tomorrow they are neighbors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is better than this? Use the pleasures of this life which Allah has allowed for you, and you are going to be the neighbor of Allah. فَيُعْطِيهِمْ مَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَ. Whatever they wish, Allah will give them. لَا تُرَدُّ لَهُمْ دَعْوَةٌ. No call of them will be rejected. Of course, in paradise, no call will be rejected. وَلَا يُنْقَسُ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ اللَّذَّةِ. فَإِلَى هَذَا يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ يَشْتَاغُ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ أَقْلٌ. Whoever has intellect should opt for this. وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We now have some time for questions and answers, if there are any questions.
I have to leave a bit early today, so if we finish question and answer a few minutes before 9, inshallah.
Thank you. Thank you.
لا ترد لهم دعوة. Now let me see. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. If you continue, I will find that.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Talking about the dressings, obviously our dresses don't relate in any way with the dresses the Imams and the Prophets used to put on. What about the dresses of the Ulamas? Do they relate somehow?
Not really.
No?
Not, this is not the way the Prophet used to dress, certainly. And not A'imma used to dress. This is just an official dress.
So what about the Imamah itself?
It is common for ulama. You see, if something is uncommon, then that makes somehow people to be distinguished and stand out. What is common? I mean, for example, priests have their own dressings, clergy have their own dressings, Buddhist monks have their own dressing, and this has become very common. So don't take this that, okay, because everyone dresses like that, so the uniform should also, for example, the policeman should also dress like this, and all of the doctors in hospitals should dress like this. Every sector of society have their own uniform, and that's not something of a problem.
Thank you. Just one clarification here. I've heard that when Prophet used to have some kind of imamah and used to have a part of the imamah hanging around the neck, is that true, or how far that is?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, and if that was, it is not a custom in the uniform of ulama anymore. Now, the hadith is لا ترد لهم دعوة ولا ينقص لهم نصيب من اللذة ولا ينقص لهم نصيب من اللذة. عليكم السلام.
Sheikh, thank you very much. Just to pick up on Muhammad Raza's question, and I know our relationship is such that you will not in any way feel bad or us asking such direct questions. It's still relating to the dressing of the ulama. I 100% agree everything that you said, that be dress in a manner that the society you live in dresses. Don't be distinguished. Okay, leaving that aside, in my daily life of interaction as a doctor, I would love to actually discuss about Islamic ethics, religion, etc., with my colleagues. But my hesitancy is because I don't have the knowledge in that. So I don't raise it, because I know that I might dig myself into problems because I'll be challenged few questions. Somebody like you, with fantastic knowledge, understanding Islam deeply inside, being able to challenge, being able to answer, you probably interact with the monks and the Buddhists and the priests, etc., at that intellectual level. It is mandatory for somebody like you to be available to interact with the members of the society at large.
Well, thank you for...
No, let me finish. Let me finish. So tomorrow's Salam Center in the cafeteria, I would expect somebody like you to be available to interact. But the moment you dress the way you are dressing, you are creating a barrier. I would love you to be in Armani suit, sitting there in the cafeteria, interacting with the members of the society at their level. In other words, common dressing, but you have that knowledge and you are able to take any challenging questions from them. What is your comment on that?
Well, you know, I personally don't mind wearing suits, and I do actually in most cases do, because I think the situation and the occasion would determine what dress would be better for you to dress. So there is no problem about that. I don't have any problem with that. Okay, inshallah. But tomorrow, I don't know what time you mean tomorrow. Okay. I know.
Manzur uncle.
You mentioned that the pleasures of this world are created for the believers. And there is this hadith that the God created the whole world because of the hope of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Is this ayat in any way related to that hadith that because of them everything else is created, as them being the leaders of the believers? Can we relate this ayat to that hadith?
Yes, they are related. In fact, if it was not for the prophets, and prophets actually, who would come and guide people to God, Allah wouldn't have created this world. Because the whole world is based on free will of human being and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was not the case that prophets would have come, and especially the culmination of prophets, peace be on him, Muhammad, peace be on him, then of course there was no use of creating, actually setting all this process in motion. So we can understand that in this light, that lawlak lama khalaqtul aflak. Of course, this hadith is not very authentic, but we can find an argument for it, that if it was not for this whole purpose of human being finding neighborhood of Allah, and this is not possible but through guidance, and guidance comes through the prophets, so if it was not for their creation, Allah wouldn't have created anything.
Just clarify. What I was trying to get is that Allah has created the pleasures of this world for the believers.
Yes.
And the prophets and the imams being the leaders of the believers, it is because of their sort of tasadduq that we are enjoying these pleasures because of them. Can we go that far? Or?
Yes, yes, that's right. Just in the same way that you can say that it's because of the believers that non-believers are using the pleasures of this world. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, very quickly, you reported a historical occasion when Ibn Abbas went to the Khawarij and he discussed with them. But what was the conclusion of that? I mean, because it seems they didn't change. How did they respond to the argument?
No. There was no conclusion because these were not people of reasoning and intellect. So, especially this Ibn al-Kawwa was someone who all the time used to nag Amirul Mumin with very silly questions, like, for example, what's the distance between the earth and heavens, and such very silly questions. And eventually they said, no, we are not. Well, the continuation of this is that they said, we are not going to listen because we think that Abu Musa is going to move into disbelief in this discussion with Amr ibn As. And Abdullah ibn Abbas told them that, well, you are fearing disbelief of Abu Musa Ash'ari, in future you are now yourself in disbelief because of what you are doing and disobeying the leader of the community. They didn't listen, of course. There was no outcome.
In terms of Israf, is there some sort of detailed guidance, or is it really relative to the individual and his own conscience as to what is Israf?
As I said, Israf in the Quran means transgressing the limits. And for example, Pharaoh is called one of the Musrafin because he transgressed the limits. He misused his power. Any misuse, whether in power, in property, in food, in drink, in dressing, any misuse is regarded to be israf. And one particular instance of this misuse, which we usually happen to think about, is, for example, wasting something, wasting food, wasting other things. We think this is israf, and it is. However, this is only one instance of israf. Any type of misuse is going to be israf.
Thank you, Sheikh. Just one comment. In a very, very broad sense, leaving aside the definition of believers and non-believers, who are they, how they're defined. But because the believers are not utilizing the ni'mah as they're supposed to be used, that is why I think the non-believers are showing us what the ni'mahs are there available and how to use them, apart from the way they can be misused, but we are talking about the usefulness of it. That is my comment.
Regarding very good. Inshallah, the mu'minun will listen.
Are there any more questions? I think we'll end there then. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
Thank you. Thanks. So next week we wouldn't have any session. The following week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you.
There's no tafsir class next week. Inshallah, we'll continue the week after.